Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. I'm John Gentry. I'm serving as your liturgist today, and it's certainly my pleasure to welcome each and every one of you. If we have any visitors today, special welcome to you. We ask that you please note that there's an attendance pad at the end of the pew. If you would fill that out, please, for our records, we would appreciate that. Got a handful of announcements, very important announcements, that if you'll notice in the back of your bulletin, they're all right there. Just make note that some of the important dates coming up in June, final Sunday for Pastor Mary will be June 9th with a farewell reception during the Sunday school hour. Pastor Doug's last Sunday will be June 23rd, also with a reception during the Sunday school hour. Pastors D.D. and Pastor Nick, first Sunday will be June 30th. We know all you'll want to be here and say goodbye and welcome on those new dates. June will be a wonderful celebration for our outgoing and incoming pastors. It's going to be a Vacation Bible School Volunteers Workshop on June the 1st from 9 until noon. Contact Miss Laura Stinnett by calling the office if you have any questions concerning that and signing up for the workshop. Also, other announcements in the back of the bulletin if you would like to look at those and keep up with what's going on at Asbury in the future weeks. Will you please stand and follow with me in reciting the call to worship? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. So waits for the Lord. He is our strength and shield. Please remain standing for our hymn of praise, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, on page 154. Please be seated. If you'll follow me in the reading of the congregational prayer. Almighty God, you rule all the people of the earth. Inspire the minds of all women and men to whom you have committed the responsibility of government and leadership in the nations of the world. Give to them the vision of truth and justice, that by their counsel all nations and people may work together. Give to the people of our country zeal for justice and strength for forbearance, that we may use our liberty in accordance with your gracious will. Forgive our shortcomings as a nation. Purify our hearts to see and love the truth. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, kiddos, if you'd come forward for the children's time with, no? Miss Laura?
Well, good morning. Happy Sunday. Happy school is out. Are y'all excited school's over? Yeah, that was kind of a late response. Well, what is this weekend? What are we celebrating tomorrow? Memorial Day, that's right. And on Memorial Day, you know, we kind of look at the people who served our country, who give us our freedom. What do we have the freedom to do? Do we have the freedom to go to church? We do. Do we have the freedom to go to school? Yes. Do we have the freedom to just walk around and enjoy God's creation? We do. We have the freedom to do a lot, don't we? And we need to thank people who took care of that for us. But you know what? What's one more freedom that we can think of? The freedom that we have for our sins. Who saved us from our sins? Jesus did. What did he do? He died on the cross. I was hoping for somebody to answer. That means I taught them well. He died on the cross. He did. He did. And he died for our freedom of sins. And so when we sin, we say we're sorry, but they're all gone. Jesus had fallen down. Mm-hmm. Dead. He was dead. He fell down and he was dead. But let's think about that. So as we go through this weekend and we think about all of those that have who have done all our freedoms so that we can have the right to do things, let's think about Jesus and our freedom of sins that we have, that we can just say he took away all of our sins. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this weekend. We thank you for everyone who's allowed us to have the freedom to do what we need and what we need to do. But also to Jesus, who took our freedom on the cross for our sins and delivered us from those sins. We ask this all in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
As we go to God in prayer this morning, we would like to keep those that are listed in the bulletin in our hearts and prayers. Clifford Smith, Larry Brown, Katie Southern Bridge, Becky Flynn, Theon James. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are gathered here this morning to honor and praise you. The blessings in our lives as individual and as a country would not happen without the richness of your love and grace. We thank you for loving us, a people who do not deserve it. Today, Father, we honor the memories of those who have served this great nation, men and women who put on the uniform of service. No, they've been called upon us to pay the ultimate price. In memory of those served, those who are serving, and those who paid that price, we humbly pray you grant them and their families peace, a peace beyond our human comprehension and capabilities. God, we ask that you grant protection for those who are serving our cities, our state, and our nation. And we ask an extra measure of grace to the parents, spouses, and children of those who are serving in foreign lands. Bring them home safe to their loved ones. We pray all this in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers come forward, we ask you to bless our morning offering. Father, today we want to give back to you a portion of the blessings you have bestowed upon us. We do this with love and thanksgiving in our hearts. Bless this morning and multiply it so it may reach those who need help and who need to experience your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please remain standing for our hymn of meditation, Be Still My Soul, on page 534.
Thank you very much. Please be seated. After all of the wonderful music and praise, now you get me. Happy Memorial Day to you. Memorial Day means a lot of different things to many different people. This weekend, the lakes are going to be teeming with boats. If I had one, I wouldn't even put it on a lake this weekend. Some people are planning huge cookouts in the backyard where they will have the traditional hamburgers, hot dogs, lemonade, lots of fun, lots of games for the kids. And do you remember, and they still happen today, neighborhoods get together. They block off the street going into their neighborhood and they have this huge block party. Well, all the friends come out and they drag the barbecue grills out on the street and they cook right in the middle of the road. It's a festivities that last all day and into the night. For others, Memorial Day takes on a little bit more of a somber tone. It's called Memorial Day for a reason, but it was not always called by that name. Research tells us the first commemorative or in memory of festivities actually happened in 431 BC. Yes, when an Athenian general and statesman named Pericles delivered a speech praising and honoring the valor of his soldiers who had died in the Peloponnesian War. Historians take that speech and they compare it to President Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. And they say those two speeches are very, very similar in tone and in content. Well, the federal holiday as we know it today actually didn't come about until 1971. Before that, it was known as, and I'm going to see some smiles on some people's faces, those with gray like me. It was known as what? Decoration Day, yeah. This commemorative day was established here in the United States in the year 1890 by a Union general named John A. Logan. Yeah, research time for to see if you're related or not, Vicky. He did that to honor the 620,000 soldiers that lost their life in the Civil War. The Day of Remembrance was set as May the 30th, a very particular day, because there were no major Civil War battles fought on May the 30th. They wanted that Day of Remembrance to be free of any remembrance of fighting. Congress changed the date from to the last Monday in May, from May the 30th to that last Monday, with the Uniform Monday Holiday Act of 1968. And 1971 was the first year that we celebrated Memorial Day on the last Monday of May. Now, I can remember as a young boy going to the cemetery to place flowers on the graves of family members. And you remember the VFW used to sell the poppies, the official flower of Decoration Day and Commemorative Day. No matter what we call it, though, it is a day to reflect. It's a day to honor those who have given their life in the service of their fellow man. And to remember, freedom is not free. It requires a great sacrifice. So this morning I ask you, what are you willing to sacrifice for your friends? An even harder question, what are you willing to sacrifice for somebody that you have never met? Sacrifice is born out of the seed of love. Today, we're going to look at that love. We're going to see who just we are, to use bad English, who we are in Christ. What place we hold in His family, and the example of sacrifice Jesus gives us in His Word. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn to the book of John. John chapter 15, we'll be reading the verses 13 through 17. And I just pray that these words bless you and that you find new meaning in them this morning. John 15, beginning in verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'd like to begin this morning by classifying, for simplicity's sake, everybody into three categories: strangers, servants, and friends. First, let's look at what might constitute a stranger. This is a person, logically, that we don't even know. They probably won't listen to us and certainly don't want to do anything we ask of them. They're strangers. It's kind of like walking in downtown Chicago. I'm not picking on Chicago. You can pick any big city, but trust me, here's the reason I picked Chicago. I was there for 3 weeks in the mid-80s in the month of December. Yes. As I walk down the sidewalk in downtown Chicago on Wacker Drive, those of you who have been in Chicago know exactly where that's at. The wind was blowing, yeah, the Windy City, and people were wrapped up in their coats and their scarves and their hats, and you could barely see their eyes. Me, being me, I'd pass somebody and I'd say, "Good morning." If they even looked at me, they looked at me like I was crazy. They didn't want me talking to them, and they certainly didn't want to talk to me. And they didn't even want to answer. All they wanted to do was get to their office building as quick as they could and get warm. And you might say their actions might have been a little self-centered, maybe rude. Maybe so. But this is the kind of person Jesus is describing when he says, stranger. Jesus met these people, these strangers, along his travel. Then when they heard him speak, they just lowered their heads and they kept walking. They became strangers to Jesus. They made that choice. Scripture tells us on the day of judgment, he's going to tell them he never knew them. They were strangers to him. Well, what can we do as believers, as children of God, to move these people from strangers to friends? First, you must be a friend, and you must know the mission statement of the Master. But what's in the middle? Next, the servant. There are so many Christians that can fall into this category of servant. Jesus said in verse 15 that we just read, a servant does not know his master's business. Can a person be a Christian and not know what Jesus' business is? Yes, they can. Let's just say, for argument's sake, that we collectively, we get together and we start a new business, and we're going to call it the Asbury Group. And it's a budgeting and financial advisory group for small businesses. Now, we take out a billboard right over here by the old Kmart, and it says Asbury Group. People are going to drive by that every single day. And they're going to become very familiar with the name Asbury Group. But with nothing else on the billboard, no telephone numbers, no anything, they're not going to know a single thing about what Asbury Group does or about the mission statement of the Asbury Group. That's what Jesus is calling a servant. A servant is only familiar with the instructions given them by a taskmaster or by a supervisor, and they carry them out. Or maybe they ignore some of them. They know nothing about the mission of the master, and they certainly know nothing about the master's business. This servant in biblical times may be a person that's indebted to the family, and now they're in servitude to that family for 7 years. Or they could be a captive and sold to that business owner. It was not the intention of the owner of the business to tell the servant or the slave anything about the business, only that they carry out the instructions as given to them. Do we have servant Christians today? Are there those who call themselves Christians but don't read the instruction manual? They don't read their Bibles, and they certainly don't come to church. Do they know what the mission of the Master is? Can they tell a stranger about the Master's business? Certainly not, because they don't know it. Sadly, we do have a great many servants, as I just described, in the world today. The last group, or the last category of people I'd like to talk about this morning are friends. Friends. Do we get to choose our friends? Yes. A friend of mine says, the best friend that I've got, I went to college with, said, friends or family you get to pick for yourself. So true. But we've all heard the term friend thrown around very loosely. I used to hear it a lot during the legislative sessions as I would walk the halls of the Capitol, such as this. This is my friend Doug, and he would like to explain the reasons for the amendment that you're going to present today. A lobbyist would introduce me to a senator or to a House of Representatives member, a lobbyist who I may have met that very day, but yet called me his friend. That is not what I would call a friend, and it's certainly not what Jesus calls a friend in our scripture today. First, Jesus said friends are chosen, specifically his friends. In verse 16, he said, "You did not choose me, I chose you." When we accepted Christ as our Savior, we became his servants. We made a choice. But Jesus is telling us he chose us to move up to that next category, to be his friends. What does it mean to move from servant to friend? Jesus said he revealed everything he had learned from his heavenly Father to the disciples. Jesus chose each and every one of those disciples to follow him, and he revealed the secrets of heaven to them, every secret the Father had revealed to Jesus. In all honesty, and you know me, I'm going to find a little bit of humor in the scripture. There's a lot of it in there. The disciples just didn't get it the first time Jesus tried to tell them. Nor did they get it the second time Jesus tried to tell them. In a lot of cases, they didn't get it the third time either. Jesus tried to tell the disciples, as we remember, in a parable. When the Pharisees approached Jesus about his disciples were not washing their hands ceremonially before they ate. They didn't understand the parable. Jesus tried to tell them, it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him. It's what comes out of his heart through his mouth that makes that man unclean. Peter still didn't understand the parable. And here's where I'll just laugh. Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Are you still so dull?" Can we be dull? I mean, can we read the scriptures and not understand its meaning? We can, but if you think about it, we have an advantage that the disciples, when they were following Jesus, did not have. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Last week, I told you of an incident where I found out about a family member I didn't know, one that was born 47 years ago. I truly believe God, through the Holy Spirit, was trying to prepare me in a dream the night before I found out about her. If we read this book as a history book, it is accurate. Yes. And it contains a great many details. But if we read it with the intention of growing closer to God, the Holy Spirit will reveal that love that God has for us. And we will move from servants to friends as the Holy Spirit reveals the Father. You see, we can move. Everyone can move from strangers to servants. But Jesus wants us as friends. He chose us to be friends. I'm going to close this morning with this. Verse 11 says, if one verse before our reading, my command to you is this, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus loved with everything he had. How can we love to that level? In the beginning this morning, I asked you what you were willing to sacrifice for a person you may never have met, or for a business associate, or maybe even a friend. On this Memorial Day Sunday, I can tell you, Jesus loved his disciples with everything, and he called them friends. Jesus loves us in the same way. After he told them his command was to love one another as he had loved them, he gave them an example of the magnitude of the love that he was talking about. Verse 13 says, no greater love. No greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. There's not a person who has worn a service uniform who does not understand that verse. When police and fire and EMS personnel put on the uniform every day, they know their friends, their colleagues wearing the uniform will be there for them, and vice versa. When we rolled out of the gate in Iraq and we went out on patrol, before we did that, you never saw this in the papers, no pictures, but we would hold hands in front of the Humvees, everybody in that patrol, and we would pray. Father, give us the strength and the courage to protect our brothers and sisters today, no matter the cost. And some paid that cost. Jesus gave his life for us. And for those who loved us so much in their service to our cities, our state, and our nation, today we remember their ultimate sacrifice, one given with the greatest of love. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of commitment is, O God, our help in ages past, hymn number 117. I invite you to stand, please, grab a hymnal, and let's sing just as loud. Let's just raise the roof on this as if it's going directly into God's throne room. If you're here today and you would like to unite with this fellowship, come forward and we will receive you by whatever way is appropriate. If you'd like to spend time in prayer and with God, our prayer rooms are always open, and I'd be honored to pray with you if you'd like. Let's sing together, hymn number 117.
Thank you.
you so much for being here today. It has been wonderful with the music and the praise and opening God's Word today. Thank you so much for those of you who have served. And let's remember, there's not a person in this room that hadn't been affected by someone who has paid the ultimate sacrifice. Today, let us remember them. Would you please bow and receive this blessing? Father God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for our freedom. And we thank you for the example your Son gave to us by laying down his life for us. Father, watch over your children, those that are away from us today and those that are here today. Bring us all back safe together where we can worship you and we can praise you in your house next week. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.